9, that nothing, not height, nor depth, nor things present, now watch this now, nor things to come can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what things to come is? That's your future. You realize that? So you don't have to fear the future, because not even things to come. You may not know what's coming, but God does. And there's nothing to fear because His love, 1 John 4:18, casts out all fear. Can we encourage the praise team? Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You so much for Your word. And Father, we thank You. Hebrews 4:12, that Your word is alive. We pray, Father God, You give everybody, Revelations 3:6-7, ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to them directly as we enter into 2014. Father, we thank You and give You praise for Your word. Matthew 4:4, we live by it today. And Father, I pray it and I say it in the name of my Lord and best friend, Jesus. And if you agree, would you say, I love this new series that we are going to be beginning today as we jump into 2014. And again, we thank God for those of you in the overflow room, and it's our honor that you're here. Please know that we won't have an overflow problem in just a couple of weekends. January 18th and 19th, our new facility, and we're so very excited about the future of what God is doing here at Joy Church. And this message is very applicable. I think this is really going to help us enter into 2014 in a very successful way. We have entitled it, The Best Is Yet to Come. Pretty simple, but boy, is that true. Whether that's for us as a church or you as an individual, we've subtitled it, Your Future Is So Bright, You Gotta Wear Shades. I like that. And I know, how many of you would be honest and say maybe you had a less than stellar 2013? How many would be honest and say you had a really good 2013? How many would be honest and say you had a lousy 2013? All right, well, whatever, less than stellar, lousy, good, your best is yet to come. On New Year's Day, my wife, my son, my mom, we had all gathered together. And we just were celebrating, having a great time. And, you know, it was New Year's Day. We had a lovely New Year's meal together. Mom was, as always, hungover. And so we had to deal with that. That's a joke. But I can't wait to the 11 o'clock service when she's here. And I can tell that. And she's right there on the front row. I'm really looking forward to that. And so we're all gathered together. And I like to try to make moments not just normal or boring. Can you tell? And that was the same on that day. So I try to do things that create memories and memorable moments. So our question, as the four of us gathered together on New Year's Day, was name 5 events in 2013 that you really loved. 5 memorable events in 2013 that were just a real blessing to you, that meant something to you, you know, on and on. And so one by one, we went around the table and shared the things that were memorable to us in 2013. I think that's a healthy thing to do. I was so blessed because one of my son's top 5 in 2013, I instituted what we call Men's Day. On Thursday, Miss Ann leads the praise, as you can tell, and so she's got practice on Thursday. And so my son and I, we go to Subway every single Thursday, or almost every single Thursday. And we have the best time. We just eat and laugh and carry on and talk about the day. And then after we finish with the Subway, which I love, by the way, we just have a blast. And then I invest in him spiritually. I mentor him. I discipleship him. I give him nuggets of leadership. And it so blessed me that he included in his top 5 our Men's Day. That really made my day. How many know there are certain things that it's important to go back and remember? Isn't it true? I mean, it's a lot of times we get caught up and we think, well, we can never revisit the past. Well, that's not true. The Bible is full of admonition for you and I to remember. How many remember Psalms 103:1-5? The Bible says, forget not all of God's benefits. I mean, forget not is remember. I mean, it's no good when you can't remember anything. Just ask this old couple. Check it out.
Hey, guys, it's great to have you back in here again. Just wanted to let you know, I took a look at all the test results and everything came back negative. Looks like you're good to go.
Well, Doc, how's that explain us not remembering things?
It's because you're old. Well, to his point, you are getting a little older. It may not be bad to get a little notebook and a pencil and start to jot some things down.
Where are you going?
To the kitchen.
Get me a bowl of ice cream.
Touch me.
Don't you think you should write that down so you don't forget it?
I can remember it, woman.
Oh, I also want some strawberries on top. Can you write that down so you remember that?
How about a bowl of shut it? Anything else?
I'd like some whipped cream. And do what the doc said and write it down.
I don't need to write anything down. I can remember it. Here's your bacon and your eggs.
You big dummy.
What?
You forgot the toast.
Come on, encourage the Davises. You forgot the toast. It is not good when you can't remember. So clearly there are some biblical benefits in remembering, no question about it. Even if you look at the Old Covenant, the priests, as they worshiped in the temple, they would take the candles, and the flame would, of course, get to a certain level, and then it would die down, and they would cut off the burnt wicks, and they would literally place them in an encasement and save them there because it was to remind them of past fires. And that also, of course, as they cut the wick, it would allow future flames to burn even brighter. There's a real important spiritual principle in that. How many remember David? King David? Well, you know, of course, everybody knows in 1 Samuel 17, he fought Goliath. Everybody knows that. But what did he do before he fought Goliath? He remembered the lion and the bear that he whooped up on because of this very important life principle. You know this. Remember God's past faithfulness to stir up future triumph. That's why it's important to go back and remember. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, there's something very biblical with that. But the one thing that we must not do is be stuck in the past. Yes, remember God's faithfulness. Of course, stir those things up. But don't allow yourself to get stuck in the past because your best is yet to come. Now, let me introduce another life point to you. We have so many new people here all the time. We have these things that we call life points. These are take-home points based on the Word of God, easy to remember. We believe nuggets of wisdom that you can live out. Remember this important life point. Expectancy. God sees the good things about to happen to you, and He's having a hard time keeping it a secret. You ever have that sense of expectancy on the inside of you? Ladies, have you ever been expecting? Well, you know that. Something on the inside of you begins to show up, isn't that right? And in this case, expectation biblically, Psalm 62:5, the Bible says, expectation comes from God. There's just something on the inside of you that begins to develop. And when you begin to have a sense of expectancy, you know that that is God on the inside of you. He sees your future. He knows there's something good in it, and He's having a hard time keeping it a secret. I love that about God. That's the purpose of this series, is to develop a sense of expectancy in you. Some of you have come here today and you've lost your hope. Some of you have come here today and you've been in a situation or circumstance that seems to have lasted for a really long time, and God wants to build a sense of expectancy in you. I love Zechariah's word in Zechariah 9 and verse 12. He said, I will be a prisoner of hope. Not just a prisoner, but a prisoner of hope. In other words, everywhere that Zechariah looked, all he could see was hope. Now the prison bars, but hope. And hope is not wishing. True Bible hope in the Greek language means a confident expectation of good. That's the purpose of the series. Your best is yet to come. I talked to Gwen Edlin back there, and she's heading off in just a little bit to the Philippines. Once again, the minister, we cannot get that young lady to sit still. She's always heading off to some country. She says, Pastor, I'm so sorry, I won't even be here for the opening service. And I said, well, if you're not coming, I'm not coming. Maybe I'll show up, but that's a good cause to go to the Philippines. Yeah, Gwen is 100 years old, and yet she's going to country after country after country, and her best is yet to come. And so is yours. I want to build that sense of expectancy in you, because there's two ways to look at the future. There always is. And there are two very simple ways that we can look at them. Check it out. Compare them. Number one, you can look at it with nervousness or with newness. I suggest newness. Number two, dread or discovery. Every day you can look at your life in that fashion. Number three, apprehension or anticipation. Number four, fear or with faith. There's always two ways to look at your future. I believe you should look at it with expectancy. Your best is yet to come. Would you say that out loud? Let me say, my best is yet to come. So, Pastor, why do you have us repeat things out loud? Because when you become part of the learning process, when you use your senses, man, the learning process becomes so much more entrenched on the inside of you. Now, this is really important that we give this. Let's run over, if we could, to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. This is such a powerful scripture about your future. You have to understand, now is where we are, but the future is where you'll live the rest of your life. Think about that. Now is where you are, and of course you need to enjoy it. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the future is where you'll live the rest of your life. Therefore, if that is the case, we must learn how to foster a fabulous future. There are some things that we can do biblically to do just that. How many know when we understand God and how He looks at the future, we can not only have a fabulous future, but save ourselves from a whole lot of junk? Look at this verse. Look how powerful this verse is. On Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13, except that's not the right one. It's Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22, 3. What a bummer of a verse that is. The slothful man will die. That's not. Can you put up 22, 3? Can you do that? Can you get it? Yeah, nice. Come on, encourage Ryan. Ah, that's it. That's good. Good thing I'm a pastor and I know the Bible. That's not his fault. That's my fault. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. A prudent man means you have common sense. How many believe that we should call common sense uncommon sense? Have you noticed this generation does not have a lot of common sense? A prudent man or a common person with common sense, watch this now, foresees. What's foresee? Foresee is the future. Foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple, can I paraphrase what the simple means in the Hebrew language? Moron. Is that all right? Can we say moron? Okay, all right. But the moron passes on and is punished. Boy, how many understand what I'm talking about? That is such a powerful verse. The man with common sense foresees evil. Here it comes. And he hides himself. But the moron keeps on going. How many understand? I'm a fisherman. I've got a fishing boat. And the way that things are now with boats and electronics, if you have something wrong with the motor, an electronic system goes off and it will beep for you. which is great for a guy like me because I'm not really mechanically inclined. And so when the boat goes in, it just beeps, and it literally will tell you. It will tell you if two beeps means this, three beeps means this, intermittent beeps means this, five beeps means you're a moron. You understand? And so when my boat beeps, I have a choice. I can either, okay, I need to take a look at this, I need to take it in for some repair, or I can just think, oh, it's just beeping, and I can kind of whistle along with it, beep, beep, and be a moron. But a man with common sense says, wait, evil coming, go have it checked. But the moron just goes, it's beeping. My wife and I were watching about 10 minutes, right before we went to bed the other night, we watched about 10 minutes. We got cable for the first time about 3 or 4 months ago. We're very, very excited about it. And they tell me that someone actually went to the moon. Is this correct? And so we saw Godzilla. How many remember the old movie Godzilla? Oh my gosh, okay, here's this big Godzilla creature coming out of the sea or whatever. It's like this big giant dinosaur. And one moron after another, as Godzilla's coming, they go. They didn't run, they didn't hide themselves. Oh, look, big, big, big animal, big dinosaur. How to get me? Oh, that's my how many speak Japanese? That's good, isn't it? Okay. I mean, one after another, they all just stood there, and I mean, here's Godzilla, and every one of them. And you know, Godzilla's about to just squash them, and they're all just one after another. And me and my wife are going, move, run, do something more. Oh, big, big dinosaur. Toyota. See, I'm fluent. Anybody else fluent? I mean, come on. When you foresee evil coming, you have to hide yourself. Man, how many know that? That's called discretion. Discretion is wisdom that keeps you from future trouble. If you don't know what that means, ask this park ranger. He'll show you discretion.
In light of the rising frequency of human grizzly bear conflicts, well, the Department of Fish and Game is advising hikers, hunters, and fishermen to take extra precautions and keep alert of bears while in the field. Remember, keep alert and don't get hurt. We advise all outdoorsmen to wear noisy little jingle bells on their clothes like these. Just in case, so you don't startle any bears that might not be expecting you. And in case you do have an encounter with a bear, make sure you have your pepper spray. And it's also a good idea to watch out for signs of fresh bear activity. A good outdoorsman should know the difference between black bear excrement and grizzly bear excrement. For example, black bear excrement is smaller and contains lots of nuts, berries, and squirrel fur, like you can see here. While grizzly bear excrement is much larger and contains jingle bells and smells like pepper.
Oh, come on. You'll get that driving home. I know you will. Now, don't no mean emails, because the Bible says, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, to count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord. Come on, encourage the Acts of Joy team. Quick, quick, quick. That, my friends, is discretion, wisdom that keeps you from future trouble. Now, let's talk about this, because there are some biblical ways that we need to jump into if we're going to foster a fabulous future. We cannot allow ourselves to get stuck in the past, good or bad. There are certain things we can and should remember. But in order to get to what God has for us, we must adhere to these biblical principles. Let's talk about seven principles to foster a fabulous future. Number one, check it out, learn to let go of the past. Now, we talk about this here at Joy Church a lot, and I know that, and I know sometimes we repeat ourselves in this area. But we do it for a reason, because so many people are stuck in the past. In order for you to get to what God has for you, we must learn to let go of the past. You got to. Your Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, to forget those things which are behind and reach or press towards that which is before, towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So in other words, to get to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, first thing you got to do is let go of the past. At some point, we've got to go ahead and leave the city of regret. How many would be honest with me and say at some point in your Christian life or in your life period, you've made a decision that has caused regret? My hand's up first. I mean, it should be everybody. How many of your regret is coming here this Saturday? Okay, I'm glad. Thank you for your mercy. I appreciate that so much. How many of your regret was having to see fecal matter in a video? Okay, yeah, at a church. You thought, what am I going to see today at church? Here's hoping it's bear poo. How many thought that on the way into church today? All right, no, okay, great. All right, and so we know, ladies and gentlemen, all of us have regrets. All of us have made decisions that you and I at some point regret. But at some point as well, we're going to have to learn to leave the city of regret. Check it out.
I had not really planned on taking a trip this time of year, and yet I found myself packing rather hurriedly. This trip was going to be unpleasant, and I knew it in advance that no real good was going to come of it. I'm talking about my annual guilt trip. I got my tickets on Wish I Had Airlines. It was an extremely short flight. I got my baggage, which I could not check. I chose to carry it myself all the way there. It was weighed down with 1,000 memories of what might have been. No one greeted me as I entered the terminal of Regret City International Airport. I say international because people from all over the world live in this dismal town. As I checked into the Last Resort Hotel, I noticed they were hosting this year's most important event, the annual pity party. Well, I wasn't going to miss out on this great social occasion, because most of the leading citizens were going to be there. First attending would be the Dunn family. You know, should have done, could have done, would have done. Then came the I Had family. You know, old Wish I Had and all of his whole clan. And then, of course, the opportunities would be there. Missed opportunity and lost opportunity. But the biggest family of all would be the Yesterdays. Of course, there's far too many of them to count. And each one would have a very sad story to tell. Then, you know, Shattered Dreams would surely make an appearance. And It's Their Fault would regale us with stories of how things have failed in their life. Each one would be loudly applauded by Don't Blame Me, and I couldn't help it. Well, to make a long story short, I went to this depressing party knowing that there would be no real benefit in doing it. As usual, I became very depressed because as I thought of all the stories of failures brought from the past, it occurred to me that all this trip and subsequent pity parties could be canceled by me and me alone. I started to realize that I didn't have to be there. I didn't have to be depressed. One thing kept going through my mind. I can't change yesterday, but I do have the power to make today a wonderful day. I can be happy, joyous, fulfilled, encouraged, and I can be encouraging. Knowing this, I left the city of regret immediately and left no forwarding address. Am I sorry for my mistakes? Yes. But there's no physical way to undo them. So if you're planning a trip back to the City of Regret, please cancel your reservations. Instead, take a trip to a new place called Starting Again. I liked it so much that I've taken up permanent residence there now. My neighbors, the I Forgive Myselves and the New Starts, they have been very helpful to me. By the way, you don't have to carry around any heavy baggage there. The load has been lifted from your shoulders. Well, God bless you as you search for this new town. Hey, if you find it, please look me up. I live on I can do it, Street.
I love that. By the way, I really want to encourage our Acts of Joy team. Now, so many different churches are doing, you know, little video clips like we do, and we thank God for that. We try to be trendsetters, and a lot of people are doing that. But most all of them, you know, get their stuff from the internet. There's certain websites that you can garner those things from. All 99% of our stuff is all done in-house by our team and our actors and our editors. Then they do a great job. We could do it through the internet and all that. Of course, we've done that occasionally, but we really believe that we want it to come from here. We really want it to be original and trend-setting and fun and enjoyable and involve you. And so we're so proud of our team. They're really doing a great job. At some point, in order to foster a fabulous future, we've got to learn to let go of the past. I talk about it all the time, but I do so on purpose because so many of us are stuck in regret or guilt or condemnation or what we did or what we did not do. At some point in our lives, you cannot let what you did define you. You cannot let what was done to you define you. You must let what Jesus Christ has done for you, you must let that define you. What happened or what you did is not a lifetime. It's simply an event unless you live there and carry it into the rest of your lifetime. Yeah, but you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You're right. I don't know what you've done. All I know is what Jesus Christ has done for you. All I can tell you is that his pile of mercy is so much greater than our pile of sin. Well, we started the theme earlier with piles. We might as well keep that going. Very, very mean crowd for Saturday. I want you to know we've got to at some point learn to let go of the past. You cannot live your life out of a rearview mirror. You can't. At some point, you just can't do that. You've got to forget those things which are before. The Greek literally reads, assign them to oblivion. You must assign them to oblivion. Remember the things that will help you move forward. But the things that are holding you back, the things that are causing you to be stuck, you must assign them to oblivion. Here's the thing that I know about yesterday. It ended last night. That's what I know about yesterday. Number two, if we're going to foster a fabulous future, if we're going to move forward in our life, because your best is yet to come, and I believe that, and more importantly, God believes that. Number two, we must become dissatisfied with the present. Now, let me balance that out because it needs to be balanced. I don't want to get you in a ditch. We must become dissatisfied with the present. I don't mean that we should not have a level of contentment about us. How many know at some point we must be content with our contents? The Bible says, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, in whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. So I want to balance that out, and I've got three dynamics of dissatisfaction that will help balance this out for you, because we really must become dissatisfied with the present with balance. Number one, please understand this, joy is the divine ability to enjoy the moment. We all as believers should have that. I mentioned earlier, we are where we are right now. Therefore, I must learn to choose joy where I am. So many of us have destination disease. You know, if I can get to that destination, then I'll be happy. So many of us have what I call someone sickness. If I can just meet that someone, then I'll be happy. But how many know you are where you are right now? You're not there. You haven't met them. And so therefore, learn to choose joy now. Joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit on the inside of you, Galatians chapter 5, the joy of the Lord, that is the thing that will sustain you now. It is the divine ability to enjoy the moment. I have learned a long time ago, it is a choice to rejoice. So please understand that as I am talking to you about becoming dissatisfied with the present. That's number one. You've got to enjoy the moment. You've got to have to be content with your contents. But number two, here comes the balancing thought. Number two, what you tolerate, you cannot change. So when I say number one, yeah, learn to enjoy the moment, and yeah, be content with your contents, and yeah, learn to celebrate life where you are, that does not mean that you are stuck in some sort of fatalistic thing, and that everything that the devil brings down your path to steal, kill, or destroy from you, that somehow that comes from a sovereign God, because it does not. There is a real devil out there that wants to eat your lunch and pop the bag. And nowhere in the Bible can you find that you are supposed to lay down in your life and allow the devil to beat you to death. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about becoming dissatisfied with. Yes, be content with the Lord and your relationship with Him and where you are and on, but that doesn't mean that you have to stay in a downtrodden place the rest of your life. That does not mean that you have to allow your enemy to beat you to death and lie to you and tell you it's God. At some point, you need to be dissatisfied with that present. You know, I talked about it last weekend, that guy at the pool of Bethesda. Here he's been in a crippled state for 38 years. And Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 6, He said, "Will you be made whole?" In other words, it's up to you, son. You don't have to lay there in that condition for the rest of your life. And what we tolerate, we cannot change. As long as I say, well, you know, maybe that's God, maybe He's trying to teach me something, listen to me. If it steals or kills or destroys, it is not of God, and it is to be resisted. Because as we are committed to here, your God is not a car-wrecking, cancer-causing creator. He is a loving, life-giving Lord. So yes, enjoy where you are, but that doesn't mean that you have to lay down under the devil and take whatever he throws your way in life. What we tolerate, we cannot change. You understand that? I mean, if you have a stray cat come around, the moment that you pet that thing and the moment that you feed that thing, that cat belongs to you. You know that. And there's so many stray cats that the devil throws your way. And if you're petting it all your life and naming it, and oh, look, it's from the devil. Hi. It is yours for the rest of your life. Third dynamic that we must understand that properly balances becoming dissatisfied with the present. Many times, the greatest enemy of everything is something. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? Listen to me very closely. A lot of times we settle for something when we could have everything. How many know in many occasions good is the greatest enemy to best? If you really want to mess up a God-given dream, give him another one. Not from God, but just some dream that's good, but not God. Let me continue to explain what I mean. I can tell by you looking at me like I have three heads, so let me continue. Let me show you a story that may illustrate. 10 years ago, we moved from Knoxville, Tennessee to start this church. I was, and still am, the president of World Changers Bible Institute. I founded it in 1993. We had a very solid ministry in Knoxville, Tennessee, that was going very well, and we were very comfortable in it. We could have done that ministry the rest of our lives. It was something. But then all of a sudden, God began to put on our heart and stir our heart to come all the way here where we knew nobody to start this church. It was everything. By the way, hello, everything. We're going to a new everything right over there. You guys are everything to us, but we could have held on to something 10 years ago, something that was good, something that wasn't evil, something that was making a difference. But it was just something. It wasn't everything. And many times, the greatest enemy of everything is something. Is God calling you today to give up a something? Because if he is, I promise you, he's trying to get you to everything. Your future's so bright, gotta wear shades. Number three, as we are fostering a fabulous future, is this helping anybody today? Is this building your level of expectancy today? Man, that's what this series is all about. Number three, check it out. You must put a successful future in you before you can be put into a successful future. Let me say it again. You must put a successful future in you before you can be put into a successful future. Here's what I mean. Your Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, this life point, this take-home point, I think will illustrate what I'm trying to say in a big way. You've heard me say this before. Your outward circumstances will never outperform your inward portrait. Your outward circumstances will never outperform your inward portrait. Remember I gave you that example a little bit ago from John chapter 5 and verse 6 where the man was crippled and Jesus said, will you be made whole? But before he says that, Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus saw him lie. I talked about this last time. So many of you are on travel. That word saw is the Greek word eido, E-I-D-O, and it's not the normal word for saw. The normal word for saw is different. This word means to see into. And Jesus saw into this man's condition. And he knew that if he was ever going to get this man to stand up on the outside, he had to first get this man to stand up on the inside. That is my job today. That is the job of this series, is to get you standing up on the inside. Get your hopes jacked up just as high as they will go. Don't listen to stupid Uncle Fred who always tell you, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Because if you get your hopes up, they'll just be dashed to the ground. That's why you're so stupid, Uncle Fred. Is because you say things out of age and not out of wisdom. Thank you for your enthusiasm. How many know that age and wisdom sometimes can come together? Sometimes age comes all by itself. Once you, and if you have an Uncle Fred or are an Uncle Fred, I don't mean this personally to you. Just keep smiling. Amen. Your outward circumstances will never outperform your inward portrait. Get your hopes up just as high as you can get them up. As long as, watch this now, as long as they are God-driven and biblically given. You understand that. You can't just get your hopes up with some mental mumbo-jumbo. That's an infomercial. They have to be biblically based. As long as your hopes are biblically based, man, you just get them jacked up as high as they'll go. Because Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Get them as high as they'll go, and then add your faith, your belief, your trust to them. So important that we deal with this inwardly first, because your inward portrait is so important, because it will begin to determine your outward circumstances. That's my job, to put an oasis on the inside of some of your deserts. Now, we're about to move to that new facility, and we're very excited about it. And what, it's just a couple weeks, 2 weekends from now. Wow. And guys, for now probably 2 years maybe, I've had on my refrigerator a picture that I asked one of my team to pull off the internet for me. For a sanctuary that looks like ours, that's really nice, our new one, really nice, really sharp, and full of people. And it's on my refrigerator. It's been on my refrigerator for 2 years. And guess what? We're about to walk into it. But I had to put it here first before it ever got there. Now, again, guys, this is not some mental mumbo-jumbo. I don't want you to get into some crazy New Age nonsense. It has to be biblically based. You understand that? And that we believe that with all of our heart, to be biblically based. You know the story. You've heard this over and over. About 20 so years ago, I could barely walk and barely talk. Had horrible cardiovascular challenges at the time, and came down to almost dying. It was one of the most difficult times in my life. And boy, did I use that principle. I knew what was happening. How many know what gets your attention gets you? And I wanted to make sure that what I was focusing on was the right thing. Never gaze at something that you don't want in your future. Now, here, listen to what I'm saying. How many of you, there's a news, and all on the news, there's almost always a plane crash a day. I travel quite a bit on a plane. So I never, ever look at that on the news. Ever. When it's on the news or whatever about plane crash, I'll pray or whatever, and I'll be compassionate, but I will never look, if it's a movie, I will never look ever at a plane crashing. Ever. I'll flip the channel, whatever, because I've been on planes where I've been in the midst of a storm that came out of nowhere, lightning coming everywhere, rocking and rolling, you grabbing for the Dramamine. How many been there? And I mean, I've been on a plane where all of a sudden it went down about 200 feet just like that, like a helicopter, and where my stomach is, how many know? And at that moment, I do not want on the inside of me plane crash. I want on the inside of me, Psalms 91, verse 10, no evil shall befall me. Psalms 121, 7 and 8, he preserves my coming in and going out. How many of you are golfers? If you're a good golfer, you know this. If you've been trained in golfing at all, if you see a guy make an errant shot, don't watch it. You see some of the best professionals, if the guy that's going before him hits an errant shot, they won't watch it because they don't want to get up next and go, slice it into the woods. There's a principle there. And again, I'm not talking some mental nonsense. There is a principle there. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This life point is huge. Your outward circumstances will never outperform your inward portrait. When I was going through all of that physical difficulty, I would watch joggers like there was something right with them. I mean, she knows when we'd be driving or whatever, she would always drive during that time because I couldn't even drive, and which is, believe me, is a big thing because now anytime we go anywhere, she's like, can I drive? No. Well, yeah, I had enough of that. Well, So now, of course, she's driving. I'm believing God for healing and then also believing God for safety. Okay, I'm all right. I'm over here now. We're safe, out of her reach. And I would always stare at joggers. And they must have thought I was creepy. I'd be looking, I bumped my wife. Hey, look at that guy. Look at that. The guy must have thought. But because that's what I wanted in my future. I'd say to my wife, I'd say, hey, honey, you watch, that's going to be me. It's going to be me. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here in cardiovascular disease. That's going to be me. Now here it is 20-something years later, and I jog 3 times a week. I am that jogger. I do weights. I weight training 4 times a week, and you know it. I take steroids every day. And I get them from Officer Downs. Oh! He's a police officer. That's a joke. Okay. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, man, this is so important. You got to put that successful future in you before you yourself can be put in a successful future. So how do I do that, Pastor? It's just simple. Take the Word of God and put it in. Put the Word of God in when you don't need it so it comes out when you do. As we're approaching 2014, you might be tired of some level of unsuccess in your life. Well, take the Bible. Well, Pastor, can you tell me all the verses on success in the Bible? No. I can tell you most of them, but I have a life. For once, I need you to crack the book open and find them. And that's to your benefit. Acts 17:11, the Bible says, when you study the Bible for yourself, you are more noble. Yeah, I could tell you probably 2/3 of them in the Bible, but I want you to look them up for yourself. Get a concordance, buy an iPad, do something. You can Google a word and you'll find it. It's going to be great when you do. Pastor, I don't have time. Well, do you have time to be a loser? Because I'm just saying. Okay, maybe I'm not as encouraging as Joel Osteen, but you get the point. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, put the Word of God on the inside of you. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, that our leaf will not fail and will bear fruit in our season. And watch this, and whatsoever we do prospers. I did a study on that Hebrew word whatsoever, and I was amazed to find out that it means whatsoever. Obviously biblical, but whatsoever you do will prosper. Put it in you here. Get the Word of God. How do I put it in, Pastor? Speak it, read it, meditate on it, think about it, dwell on it, write it down over and over and over until you get that oasis on the inside of you. And someone could drop you in the middle of a desert in nowhere, but because the oasis is on the inside of you, you will bloom wherever you are planted. Oh man, your best is yet to come. Your future so bright. Gotta wear shades.